Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Radio. I'm the big it's Dan the Man. If you'd like the podcast, 646-378-3743 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up this morning, so swing on by. You know, let us know what you think, of course. Have an issue with that. Of course, you know, also while you're at Sports Time, you'll see that link. You can click it. That'll take Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed with you at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke. Dan the Man is at
Dan Z Man. I'm going to say Z's.
I don't know what the deal is, Dan, but it did seem like much of a sports day, with the exception of college basketball, which I don't mind. I'm not a huge fan of. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot going on, right?
No. Well, apparently, you know, I thought today was Monday. So, asking you how your weekend was, I think you were confused. Like, didn't we already have this conversation on Monday, jackass? But, yeah, nothing's really going on. I mean, I was invited to join a Cubs Facebook group. I don't know how long I will last, because this is the ultimate fan group where everyone loves Nico Horner, and all they keep doing is posting how excited they are that the Cubs won today. It's preseason, guys.
Oh.
It's preseason.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, I wouldn't do well there.
No, and you're not allowed to be negative in the group.
Yeah.
So essentially, my smart-ass comments would be perceived as negative. So I'd probably get kicked out, but I don't know how long I'll last in there. But it's pretty comical. I mean, I get excited that baseball's back, but I don't know. The toting over winning a preseason game really doesn't do anything. I mean, this is the one time where all the sabermetrics people's sayings are true. You know, the wins and losses don't matter here. RBIs don't matter. You know what I mean? It's preseason.
Yeah.
It's the one time you literally could say all that, and it's the truth. So, but yeah, no, nothing that exciting is going on. I mean, it is interesting. I think I set up way too many alerts for the MLB app, so I get a ton a day. My phone just goes off all day long. And, you know, it seems like Jock Peterson's doing pretty well in a Cubs uniform.
Well, I mean, he's swinging a pretty hot bat, you know, right now, you know, which is always good. You'd rather but, you know, again, what does it mean? You know, he could cool off before the season starts. So, you know, we'll have to see. There was some, you know, I mean, the news we need to keep up on as baseball moves along. Your guy Forrest Whitley is going to have non-surgery. So it was a really good thing now that the Astros did decide to reach out and try to take Odorizzi to a 2-year deal. Because they, you know, with Valdez going out, they desperately needed a starter. And, you know, Whitley's been a prospect for years, and now it's just looking more and more like he's going to turn out to be another bust for them. If you remember, originally they were the team that drafted Mark Appel, who was, you know, supposed to be a big stud, and he never made it to the majors for them. He did pitch for the Phillies. He may have pitched somewhere else, but he, you know, he made it. So we'll see what happens with Horace Whitley. Zach Britton, the Yankees setup man, is going to undergo arthroscopic surgery. They didn't give a timetable on his return, but it does look like he'll be back, maybe not for opening day, but soon. Then Miles Mikolas, the Cardinals starter, who didn't pitch all of last year due to Tommy John, it's being reported that he will not be ready for the start of this season. He said soreness in that throwing shoulder all through camp, and it just he's nowhere close to being ready. I'm starting to wonder, Dan, if maybe it's a good thing the Brewers signed Jackie Bradley, because for whatever reason, Lorenzo Cain can't get on the damn field. They keep saying he has a minor quad injury, but this minor quad injury just continues to keep him out of being able to play. So, you know, we'll have to see what goes on there. And then your other Astro guy, Alex Bregman, still hasn't played. He's got a left hamstring issue, so they're waiting to see when he finally gets on the field. You know, John Lester made it back, just like the Nationals said. He only missed about 5 days after thyroid removed. What else did I come across out here? Not too much. JT though had the cast removed from his thumb. Now he's in a splint, so we'll see how that works out. And then all that I saw, Braves haven't set a timetable for him to start throwing yet. So he's definitely not going to be ready. And there's no chance a pitcher gets us ready that fast. So there you go. You're caught up with free info, right?
Yeah.
So how that all works out and what kind of, you know, what kind of value these guys belong in our drafts and, you know, the auction league. So. So see. But here you go, Dan. I got to ask you about this because I'm still, I don't know if you want to call it on the fence or maybe I'm tired of it. Joey Ohtani is apparently going to be a two-way player. And there's actually a quote from him that feels good about not having restrictions. Dan, is this going to work out or are we going to – is this just going to be a test that comes up every single year that they choose a two-way player?
Honestly, I think it's just going to be something that comes up every year. I don't even know where to go with it. I mean, you know, they've got Joe Maddon as the manager, so he'd be one that's definitely open to something like this. But at the same time, he just gets hurt all the time. So I, you know what I mean? I just don't even know where to go with it because he'll either be able to do one and not the other. And I mean, how many years is this now? Is this the third or fourth season?
four, right? Yeah. So.
So, I mean, it's just to the point where I think the flair, pizzazz, whatever you want to use, whatever weird term you want to use, I think it's lost it. And I don't really care if he's a two-way player or not. I just want to see him succeed, you know, and I don't know if that's behind the plate or on the mound, you know, but this whole two-way thing isn't really working out, if you ask me.
No, well, you know, and then maybe you can explain this to me. He hit 100 miles per hour on the gun, and every freaking media person got excited about him. Don't other guys put 100 on the gun? I believe Jacob Tom did as well, and I didn't see all the press about him, and DeGrom's got a couple Cy Youngs in his back pocket where Otani's basically been a bust as a pitcher. Why are we so excited now to see him hit 100, Dan? I mean, I literally think every media member went home and pissed themselves after he hit 100. That's how excited they were.
I don't understand that fascination. So BFD, he hit 100.
Yeah.
I want to see him. I don't care. If he can hit 100 miles an hour all he wants, but unless he pulls on, you know, wild card's eyeglasses, he's not, you know what I mean? Doesn't matter. He hasn't done anything on the mound. He really hasn't.
No, and that's always his problem. It's always his arm that gives him trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a pitcher, not as a hitter. You know.
Yeah, and to be honest, it has to end this year. He needs to fulfill what he was brought here to do, and that is pitch once a week and then step to the plate, was it three times a week? And I'm sorry, if he cannot pitch 20 games this year, this is for what they signed him for, it's a complete bust. You know, it's just, it's not working out.
Even though he didn't play him a lot, it's still a bust. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, I don't know, if I were in the front office with the Angels, I mean, you've got to get his feeling. You know, you want to definitely talk to him, see how he feels about it. But, you know, if I'm ready, well, you know, let's just throw it fantasy-wise because, you know, that can relate to people a little bit better. I think fantasy-wise, I'm drafting him as a hitter. And
yeah.
I think he will go and – I don't know, am I stretching it? Do you think he'll be gone by the first round? I mean, we're 20 team, so I think he's gone by the second round. You know, you're not going to get him past the second. And I think that is probably the case coming into some of the smaller leagues too. But as a pitcher, I'm laughing at the guy. No offense. Sorry, you know, for a future apology. But I'm laughing when I see him picked, even in the first round at 19 as a pitcher, 19 or 20. You know, I'm still laughing.
You know, the only way I even want him as a pitcher is if I've already got two or three solid starters and I can take a risk.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want him.
No. So, I mean, unless he – whoa, I think I just broke my chair. Almost fell out of it. A little skip in the heartbeat right there. But, yeah, like I was saying, I mean, I think they need to figure it out this year, and he needs to just get out from the mound and just stay behind the plate. I'm sure, you know, with the arm that he has, he can definitely succeed as an outfielder. Granted, I know their outfield is jammed, but if you mix them as an outfielder DH, I think they're in a great spot. So, you know what I mean? Relying on his pitching for the last 3 years, I think, you know, and obviously I'm just speaking hypothetically in hindsight, 2020, whatever. I think they should have X'd it out and went and signed Yu Darvish or tried to trade for the Cubs. I don't know if that would have worked for them, but you know what I mean? And I just throw that name out there because he seems like one of the hotter ones that would have been available. It would have been a great fit for their team and what they're doing. You know, because they need pitching. And I'm sorry, you're relying on a guy who can't stay healthy and who came into this league with the issue.
Darvish did have a really good first outing for the Padres in spring training. He looked really good through a couple innings. So.
See?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, I think that's one of the things they're missing out on.
I got some more quotes for you. This is an Aaron Judge quote. It says, Gary is a guy that can go out there and win American League MVP award. Now, of course, he's talking about his teammate Gary Sanchez. If you remember, the Yankees actually considered designating Sanchez for assignment. Last year, he played 49 games and he hit .147. The year before that, he did hit 34 bombs, but he still only hit .232. He's a career .236 hitter. You know, I get that it's his teammate and he's going to back him up. And just kind of a two-prong question here for you. A, you don't really believe he can win an American League MVP, I hope. And then B, do you think he at least bounces back this year, or should the Yankees have moved him when they had the chance?
I think they should have moved him when they had the chance. I don't know if I can answer a question on bouncing back per se, but I'm at the point where I do not believe that Gary Sanchez is a full-time catcher. I think if you're going to have Gary Sanchez on your roster, he needs to be shared duty.
I don't even know who else they're carrying on their roster. It might still be Higasawa, Higashi. So,
I mean, either way, I don't, like you said, I don't really remember who's on their roster and whatnot. But if they're gonna keep him, I really think they would need to have someone else with them. You know, the old Tampa Bay Rays thing. I know they just stick out because who do they have? Wilson Ramos and somebody else. Or not Wilson Ramos. He was with the Nats. But there was that time period when, you know, the Tampa Bay, and they had two catchers, two veteran catchers.
Do.
You know, these guys. Do they? Like, who the hell? Why can't I think of who they were? Because I had both
Mike
of them.
Zunino and, it's Mike Zunino and somebody else. I don't know added, but they added a catcher. So.
Yeah, before that though, because they had two catchers that were a little bit older. I believe they were, you know, Latin American or the Caribbean. I can't remember their names for some reason. But they've worked with that tandem, and I mean, I had both those guys on my team, fantasy wise, and it worked out good. I mean, we're not talking 30 plus home run guys with 300 batting averages. No. We're talking about catchers who play, you know, together, played every day, and were able to manage the pitching staff. And, you know, to be honest, with Gary Sanchez, he had that bat when he first started. But much like a lot of the rookies that come into Major League Baseball, that bat is there April, May, June, and they're lucky to get it through the rest of the summer. But then the next year they come back and everyone's like, oh, all I got to do is throw this pitch and, you know, he's not going to hit it. I think he was easy to figure out. That and the fact that, you know, strikeouts don't matter, so strike out as much as you want.
Yeah, and you also have to remember he had offensive issues as well. So, you know, he may have led the league in passed balls, which is, nothing would obviously not very good for a catcher. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. Like, if you can't, I don't know. Can your bat really make up for, you know, things behind the plate like that?
Not if you're giving away runs. I mean, unless you're hitting a grand slam every time you have the amps do. No.
But yeah, I think it's time. And, you know, and Aaron Judge's comments, I mean, like you said, it's his teammate. I feel that 2 years ago, well, I feel that we probably should, I'm surprised we didn't hear that come out of, you know, Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant's mouth.
Yeah, well, you know, it's humorous you mention that because I have a Cub quote for you right here. This is from Ethan Pop. It says, I have no doubt that he's going to be a huge contributor to us. Who do you think he's talking about?
Jake Arrieta.
No. Chuck he's Peterson. Talking about Nico Horner. Now, Horner played 48 games last year, Dan. Did manage to homer, which is a rarity in baseball today, and hit a whopping 222. You know, obviously, he looked good when he came up in 2019, but last year, not so much. You know, I haven't heard anybody commit to him as the full-time second baseman yet. I don't know if that's the route the Cubs are going to go. What do you got here? You buying Horner as a contributor? I mean, did you see enough 2 years ago to believe that last year was a fluke? Or did the league finally just kind of get their book on him and now it's all his responsibility to adjust? What's going to happen?
I think it's all his responsibility to adjust, and you know, maybe I missed it, but I would assume he's too young to start at second base with Chicago Cubs. I know we have new presidentship, but I just assume there are some washed-up second basemen that played 15 years with another team that was signed to play second base for the Cubs to get injured and not play.
David Bodie.
He doesn't count. He doesn't count. He was a Cub. You know, I meant like, you know, some middle infielder that, you know, played for the Braves for 20 years. I'm just being a smart ass.
They couldn't afford any of those guys this year. So.
No. They couldn't afford to blow money on a guy who's not going to play. Is it Ben Zobrist not come back yet? Or he's still.
No. I think he actually retired.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, you know, Ian Hop definitely said what he had to say, and I think it's good. You need that support from your fellow teammates to kind of help build that confidence. But, again, I'm not taking any stock in rookies anymore, especially when it comes to baseball. I'm going to be happy for them. If it's my Cubs, you know, you're going to be happy for them. But until they reach that third season and they're consecutive or consistently consecutive, you know, kind of mix those words up, I'm not, you know, going all in on them. And a great contributor, you know, what does that mean? Because in today's game, it's definitely identifying that when you speak in that tone that you're referring to hitting, because that's all anyone cares about anymore. You know, we don't care about how good he'll play with Javi, right? You know, because he won't really matter. It'll be all Javi's flashiness that will take the stage. So, I mean, what are you referencing, Ian Hop? Because technically that should be your job. You should be playing second base, not the outfield. But, you know, that's why you and I don't run teams, Big Jack.
Yeah, I know.
It would make sense.
That's
so, I mean, I don't
know anybody, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, as we talked about the Facebook group I'm in, I mean, everyone's in love with this kid, and I think it's great. But, again, you got to move past a flash in the pan. I mean, look at Kyle Schwarber. He was a flash in the pan. He contributed in a couple situations. And then it was expected that he was going to be a 162 game guy hitting 45 home runs a year, you know, hitting 300. And maybe his home runs are closer. No, but nothing else, you know.
Damn.
I really wouldn't say he contributed.
He'll do that this year with Washington. Don't worry about it. So then what do you think? Does Horner end up being the everyday second baseman?
I don't think so. I mean, who else do we have on this team?
It's basically Lodi. It's probably down with those two, right?
Yeah. So him and Bodie, I don't know. I think it's another tandem of the two.
You know, I'm trying to think. They didn't bring any you know, non-roster guys that I can recall. Let's see if I can do this quickly so we can make a decision here. But yeah, I don't remember. You know, I think the Red Sox signed for utility guy available, so I don't know if they brought in one of those guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could go and look for Brock Holt.
He's still available. Oh yeah, they did. Remember they signed Eric Sogard last week.
Oh, that's right. So they did.
They also have. So they did get one. They also do have Elmero Vargas, who looks like he could project to actually make the team as another utility guy. And don't forget, I can't believe I actually forgot about these guys. They signed Matt Duffy, the former Giant prospect, and then they signed Patrick Wisdom, who spent some time with the Cardinals and then bounced around to, like, the Rangers and the Mariners. Remember, you made a big deal out of the Sergio Alcantara signing. So they do have some guys. You like Horn better than those guys?
He spent the money, so why wouldn't you just go with those guys? But again, why did you spend that money when you have Horner?
So, yeah, you need a utility guy, so one of them will probably end up on the bench as the utility guy. But I don't, you know, who knows? I don't know what the hell the Cubs are doing.
No, neither do I. And, you know, I think it shows that despite the fact that, you know, the training facility in South Bend is spectacular and all the stuff they've done to improve their minor league system for facilities, they didn't do anything to actually improve their minor league system. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to reach out and go after Eric Sogard and people, you know, the echelon.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just kind of something all teams do. You know, you bring them into camp just in case, you know. Because, like I said, you know, you need a utility guy, and you don't want to waste a minor league prospect as a utility guy. So, you know, it makes sense to have a veteran guy, you know, at least one veteran guy like that on your bench who can do multiple things for you. So, I don't even care. Who knows if we're going to make a team. It could be one of the other guys that are invited. So,
that's what makes it just very confusing because, you know, it's like, what are you guys doing?
So, all right, well, let's move across town, Dan, and this is a Jose Abreu quote, and this actually is an interesting one to me, and I'm going to doubt that the way I say it sounded anything like the way Jose said it when it came out of his mouth. He said, "I don't have any doubt he's ready to play in the majors and help us at this level." Now, what's interesting here, Dan, is he's talking about Andrew Vaughn. Vaughn was the White Sox first-round pick. He went third in the 2019 draft. He hasn't played above high A ball.
He has 245 career at-bats. He's a 278 hitter. He did hit six bombs, but he does have big power. You know, the White Sox do need a designated hitter. You know, right now it looks like Zach Collins and Yasmani Grandal will handle the duty. So one will catch DH to get both their bats in the lineup. Is it possible that, you know, this kid who is, what is he here? He is all of, he just turned 22 last month. Is he one of those players who's ready to make this jump and go, you know, go to the big leagues like guys used to?
I don't think so. You know, I think we're not really going to see the results of the decision that was made to consolidate the minor league baseball system for at least the next 5 years. So, you know, making huge jumps at this point, I don't think it hasn't really proven to be beneficial to the team or the player over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking he could, you know, if somebody could do it, looks like he's got the bat to do it. But, you know, we'll have to see what the White Sox decide. No matter what happens, we all know he's starting here in the minors, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's no doubt about it. But, all right, well, here, this is a fun quote because it's actually a guy talking about himself. It's Pete Alonso. He says, "I'm feeling dangerous. I'm ready to make history, and I'm ready to drive in 130 stakes." Now, what he means by stakes is Keith Hernandez, who does the Mets games, refers to RBIs as ribeye stakes. Of course, you know, we know 2 years ago, Alonso was the rookie of the year when he hit 53 bombs and hit 260. Last year in 57, he hit 16 home runs but only hit 231. You know, as a rookie, he did drive in 120 stakes, as he called them, Dan. Can this guy get to 130? Are the Mets a quality enough team to allow him to do that now with the additions they've made?
If he bats fourth or fifth, I think it's possible if they do this BS.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't he be hitting second?
Wait, you didn't let me finish that.
I had to do that. I'm sorry.
Well, that's exactly where I was going, Big Jack. If they do that BS Mike Trout crap, he's not going to hit 130. He's not going to be lucky enough to be at the plate for 130 RBIs. You know what I mean? So if you kind of think about it, 30 home runs, he would, for 130 RBIs, let's just put it like this, he'd need 30 of his home runs to be grand slams. And then he can get 10 more, you know, other ways, by, you know, 10 solo home runs, technically. So, you know, that's not that doable to begin with. And granted, I only took an account, you know, for 40 hits, technically, if you think about it, out of a possible 200 that a player can achieve if they care more about actually getting the ball and putting it in play as opposed to their launch angle and the pitcher spin and all that stuff. But yeah, if he's batting number two, he's not driving in 130 RBIs.
And to be fair, with the addition of Francisco Lindor, he won't hit second. Lindor's the best hitter player on that team. If anybody ends up in that spot, it'll be him. You know, they also have Michael Conforto, so there's a good chance Alonso does hit in the cleanup spot like a natural power hitter would. So it does look like it would be a little more traditional for the the Mets to do that there. I mean, if he actually went out and hit second, they should just fire whoever their manager is and get it over with. So, but yeah, you know, like I said, he had 155 hits when he drove in 120 runs, you know, and he played in 161 games, so he only missed one game. Obviously, he's going to have to stay healthy, and he's going to have to pick up a few more hits than he did as a rookie. So what do you think he needs? He needs, what, 165, 170 to get to 130 RBIs?
Cool. Wait, say that again, 165, 170 what?
Right, hits to get to get those extra 10 RBIs, you know.
Yeah, you threw me off on my games. There's only 162. Where'd you get them? No, yeah, I think he definitely needs to. Guaranteed, I think he could, if he gets close to 200 hits, I think he'll definitely get it. But, set your goals high. And I think that's great, competitive, especially in a world where, you know, luckily for him, he's got a baseball guy who understands that ribeye steaks do matter and they do count. But I think he's given himself a little bit of a stretch, but you know, he gives himself a goal and he's, you know, now he's got to achieve it because Keith Hernandez is definitely going to be asking about it at the end of the season. And so will you and I, but you know, Brian Kenny might not, you know, he's not even going to care.
Oh yeah. He's not going to care at all. So, you know, cause he would just be lucky if he got 130 RBIs. So, all right, I got one more for you. This is Hunter Dozier, and Hunter Dozier's quote is, "We're going to be a tough team to play against." Now, obviously, he's talking about his team. He's a Kansas City Royal, just got a nice four-year extension. And, you know, their day-to-day lineup actually looks like it could be pretty good. You know, they got the addition of Andrew Benintendi. They signed Carlos Hernandez. Jorge Soler has really kind of found his place with them. You know, Adalberto Mondesi is another year older. They brought in Michael A. Taylor, who's going to get a chance to play every day, unlike in Washington where he just seemed to keep getting pulled out of the lineup. You know, my problem here, Dan, with the Royals is pitching. You know, while they did sign Mike Minor, the rest of the rotation is Danny Duffy, Brad Keller, Brady Singer, and Chris Bubick. It looks like Greg Holland is going to be the closer. You know, they did bring in Brad Brock and Wade Davis, but, you know, those guys haven't had a lot of success lately. I don't know if I'm buying them as being as tough to compete against as he thinks they're going to be. And again, I get it. It's your team. You're going to want to say that, but where do you kind of see the Royals with this, and how do you think this plays out for them?
Well, if they get in third place, they've definitely bumped up. I mean, I think they've secured the number four spot immediately. Oh, damn. And I just sent out the emails for our predictions, Big Jack.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So don't
you think they're better than
one.
Detroit?
I think they're better than Detroit. I've kind of lost my faith in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's a sinking ship. So I don't know. I think Kansas City will pull it off better than Detroit will, but you know, we've been surprised before. I do think they're going to compete, but I still think they're going to have a lot of trouble with the other three teams. You know, obviously Cleveland, we're thinking by what they've done, they're just tanking their team, but you know, they were getting rid of stars last year and they were still holding a good spot in that division. So, And I think the White Sox are going to be extremely competitive this year, along with Minnesota. So, you know, Kansas City definitely has their work cut out for them. You know, and for him, I hope it does work out, but, you know, he's got to remember that it took the Royals 30 years to get back to championship form.
Yeah, you know, it just so it just one of those things. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I think it would be a shock if the Royals finished higher than fourth. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I think they secured number four, but you know, if they get to three, I think it'll be a big shock.
Yeah, so I just, you know, who, you know, what, I don't even know. But, you know, again, it's your team and you've got to, you know, you got to be that guy. So,
yeah.
You know, I found some more fun baseball stuff for you here, Dan. They ranked the top 30 teams, 1 to 30, on who the World Series favorites are. So, and obviously it's one National and one American League team at the top. The National League team is ranked first, so I'll give you that. I think you're going to get this one, Dan. Who's the favorite to win the World Series right now?
Me or them? I'm going to go with the Padres.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. So, yeah, they have the Dodgers, which is where I thought
you
were going.
I was
going to
go with
the
Dodgers, but I thought they were just going to join that bandwagon and go with the Padres.
Yeah, no, the Padres come in at number three. All right, so who's your American League team?
The Yankees.
Hey, there you go. You were right on with that one. So now let's go to the bottom. All right, let's see who the bottom team is. A National League team, Dan. Who is that bottom team? Who is the team that you least expect to win the World Series?
The Pirates.
There you go. Hey, you're right on. You are rolling here. All right, and then at 29 is an American League team. Who's your least likely American League team to find their way into the World Series and win?
The Tigers.
Oh, no. I'll give you a hint. They're in the same division as the Yankees.
Oh, this is the Orioles. How can I forget about them?
There you go. So, yeah, I'm looking here to see where the Cubs came in on this list. The Cubs are at 18.
12.
Yeah, they're at 18. The White Sox do make the top 10. They come in at 6. So
that's a
pretty good. Yeah, it could be, but they are the top American League Central team. So, you know, obviously what they do have, you know, I mentioned the Padres at 3, the Mets are 4, the Braves are 5. So those are the teams ahead of the White Sox. The Cardinals are 7, the Twins are 8. The A's come in at 9, which I'm really surprised by, because the Astros are 10. And I think the Astros are better than the A's, even with the Justin Verlander injury. I don't think the A's did anything to improve themselves this offseason. But
no.
those are the top 10.
Well, and to be honest, though, when you explained, you know, who was around the White Sox, it does make sense. I could see that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, kind of interesting. But, yeah, like you, I've seen a lot of people that are all over the Padre bandwagon. And, I get, you know, they've made some really good moves, and I do fully expect them to be in the playoffs. I just don't think they're better than the Dodgers.
No, and that's the only reason. I wasn't sure, you know, how the rankings were done, I was just going with the hype. Because everyone's just
any reason for their ratings. They just the two guys who write for MLB.com who ranked them. So,
Well, I guess once I get yours and Schomburg's too, then possibly Mr. Fantasies, we should just rank, you know, according to kind of. Well, we'll have to figure something out, but you know, you and I will put our own ranking together, right?
Well. I don't know. That's a lot of work. I don't know. So.
Hey, you know, it's not that much work. I mean, I've got the algorithms all set. You know, I've got my formulas ready, and we'll do like we always do. I think they're going to win.
I don't know. You know, I'm tired. I'm old. I'm tired. You know, I don't know if I can do that kind of stuff anymore. So.
Well, you got to make your picks anyway. So.
I know. I got to remember who plays where and what teams they're on and all that other stuff. It's hard. It really is. It's difficult.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, Big Jack, I think between the three of us, maybe the four of us, I think we will all pick Baltimore to be last in the East, Pirates last in the Central. And Detroit last in the Central, AL Central. I still think the NL West and the NL East, I don't know, the rest of them I think are still up for grabs. I don't think there's a guaranteed loser in those. But, you know, it's always interesting with the West, though, because the Rockies and the Diamondbacks always kind of give you this weird run, and you think that they're just going to overtake, and then all of a sudden, they don't. So.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I believe that the Rockies are going to find their way to the cellar with the moves they made. So, you know, just one of those unfortunate things that, you know, they do. So, but you never know. I mean, it is possible. I could be wrong, and I wouldn't be the first time I've made a prediction that didn't come true. Yeah. So, you know, we will see. So, you know, and then, you know, I mentioned to you before we started that, you know, the NBA gets up and running tonight. Now, you know, our local team here, the Bulls, are not in action, but are you excited to have the NBA back after that just fantastic All-Star game that I didn't even watch 2 seconds of?
I didn't even know there was an All-Star. I thought they canceled it.
Well, LeBron tried to get them to cancel it, so. You know, we're just starting out with two games tonight. It's the Washington Wizards at the Memphis Grizzlies, and then the San Antonio Spurs at the Dallas Mavericks. So nothing huge or anything like that. Just the basic, you know, kind of schedule. We pick up some more games. But, you know, Dan, I know I was joking around with you before we started about making sure LeBron had enough time off. And when I said, oh, they probably weren't playing till this weekend, I ended up not being kidding because they don't play again till Friday. So he got, you know, he almost got his full week off. Well, you know, because he got 5 days off because they played the All-Star game on Sunday. So he almost got his full week. So he can't I'm sure he still will, but he probably shouldn't bitch too much about anything. But that's kind of what he does now. He's just, just garbage. So, but, you know, that's how you do it. You don't like it, you cry about it. So.
Yeah. Well, that's how the way our world works today, right?
Yeah, you know, and then I did see that, I think, do you have Marcus Smart? Because I saw that he's back from injury and expected to play Thursday. So you'll have to make sure you get him off your injury list there. So, you know, and how was your team doing? Were you winning coming into the break? I mean, obviously we have the extended week. So
yeah,
was your
I'm up by two.
I think I was up one heading into the restart here.
I mean, we'll see how it goes. I've dropped to seventh in the league, third in my division. But our division that I'm in is pretty close, with the except for the bottom feeder. So.
So, yeah, and then we did have some interesting news involving the NHL, believe it or not. Dan, they agreed to a 7-year deal with ESPN, the good old Mickey Mouse Network. Now, they haven't been on that network for, I believe I saw, 17 years.
Wait,
and the National Hockey League, the good old NHL. So, and
I had to double check with you. I didn't believe I heard that right.
Yeah, it's going to have 25 regular season games on either the Mickey Mouse Network or ABC, early round playoff series and one conference final. 4 Stanley Cup final series will be on ABC, and then they will make more than 1,000 games available per the streaming service, be it ESPN Plus and Hulu. So it's, you know, they're finally going to have a chance to get out there. It looks like the deal also includes opening night games, the NHL All-Star Game, and skills challenges, along with other special events, which may be considered like the outdoor games and those kind of things. So, you know, if people are finally going to get to see the NHL.
Well, we already, it's just interesting because, you know, you had mentioned the fact that NBC was doing away with their sports channel because of Peacock. So it's, you know, because over the last couple of years, NBC's been pretty much where you go to watch the NHL. You know, they've even had some more Blackhawks on National this week. So that's been pretty cool. You know, I mean, I think it's good for the NHL. I don't know. I don't really know what to say. I'm not, you know, adding ESPN to my Sling package for this, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, what's nice is it will give them more exposure. You know, obviously it's much easier to find, you know, the good old Mickey Mouse Network than it is the NBC Sports Network.
Yeah.
So I do know while the contract runs out with NBC, they are going to be showing some games on the USA Network. But that will also help them, you know, get out there and kind of themselves a little more exposure. So, that, you know, but yeah, I mean, I think this is a fantastic deal for them. And a big opportunity here. We'll just kind of have to see how it goes, right?
Yeah. I mean, it will be interesting. I do think the downside, though, is when they put stuff on ABC. But that's just for me because I only get Fox and NBC, so.
Yeah. One of those things. You gotta kind of take the good with the bad, right?
So it'll be interesting, though. Like you said, when this NBC Sports disappears, you know, especially locally here, I wonder how that's going to work. You know, for the Blackhawks and the Bulls and the White Sox. You know, are they? You know, is Jerry going to go the route and create his own sports network, or you know, team up with the Wirtz family and try to do something. I don't know.
yeah, you know, you do wonder, you know, if it's possible, well, maybe they'll go that route. You know, obviously they want their games to be seen. So
yeah,
maybe that is something they'll have to look into. But yeah, no, you know, like I said, I thought that was, you know, very interesting. I haven't quite heard yet what NASCAR is going to do. You know, NASCAR has half of their season with NBC as well, the second half. And yeah, I have no idea yet how that's going to play out, or, you know, where or if they'll end up being moved, or, you know, maybe we get to see NASCAR races on USA, which would give them a little more focus as well.
Now, how does USA play into that? That's what I don't understand. To be honest, for me though, Big Jack, you know, it was funny when you had the three, you had NBC, ESPN, and Fox for, you know, NASCAR. I mean, honestly, the fact that you told me Clint and Jeff Gordon will not be broadcasting once it gets brought over to NBC, I don't want to hear that. So no. I want NASCAR to be strictly on Fox, because I honestly believe that they've made this race season so far 100 times more exciting than it's been in the past.
Yeah, NASCAR needs to find a way to get themselves back on just one network. No matter what network that is, they need to find a way to get back to just one, because it's just too big of a, you know, it's just too much to ask fans to chase the races around. You know, like, it's okay when the truck race and the Xfinity race on FS1, because you know that the main race is going to be on Fox. You know, then all of a sudden the season's halfway over, and you've got to switch hope the race is on NBC, because they don't carry all of them. You know, so sometimes it's on Sports Network, and then, of course, like you said, once that goes away, luckily it's at the end of the year. God, you know, it's not months ago yet, but it's just, you know, too strange. So, yeah, they definitely need to solve the problem.
Even, you know, as a new fan, when it was hard to adjust to that, where I got used to watching it on one network, and then I think I was tweeting or texting you like, "Hey, what channel's the race on? I thought it was on today."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh, they switched from blah 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 to yeah." So.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, like you said, I mean, Cliff Boyer and Jeff Gordon have made the early part of this year fantastic, and now we're going to lose that when, you know, the halfway point hits. They go over to another network. So, but we'll be back tomorrow at 4:30. But while we're gone, please come over here to Amazon. Get over there and leave a review. Follow the link to the Facebook page to get that a like. But don't forget to Twitter feed, which is off course on the radio. You know, if you like, you can also find the animal as well. That would be cool. If you stop by and it's just live, well, big thanks for doing that. But remember, if you book someone, get back up on the screen. Swing on over there and you can listen to Sports Time Radio. Hey, I'll be back in one.